Welcome back. Big Bad Morning Show. Final hour here. Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris, and Ryan Ripken here today. Rob Long is off this week. We welcome in Maryland Terrapins head football coach here, Mike Locksley. Coach, how you doing?
What's going on, man? So we are going to have a good show now that Rob's off, huh?
Yeah, that's what we got to do, man. Anytime he's out, we have fun. No. Hey, Coach, I want to take you back to the second half because I got to be honest, watching the game, I'm worried. I'm looking at Virginia saying this is a tough spot. And then you guys came out. I don't know what your halftime speech was, but keep using it because you guys came out and dominated in the second half.
Yeah, and again, it wasn't a big halftime speech, to be honest, because if you watched the game, and obviously you did, the first half was self-inflicted wounds, tons of penalties against ourselves. Defensively, we gave up a couple of big plays. But what I really did at halftime was show our guys kind of how they didn't flinch, and we're still, you know, within reach of this game. I showed the defense how, by holding them to field goals, we saved 8 points. And then I showed the offense how, when we needed a touchdown before the half to get us going, we found a way to do that. And now if we just clean up everything and go out and play the way we played the last, you know, couple of drives of the first half, you know, we'll be able to get the win on the road. And that's what they did. We played as perfect a second half as we could play. One penalty, I think, and even that call was questionable. But the best thing that came out of that game, and this is what I think will carry us a long way this season, is I love the way that our guys responded. They didn't react. They just kept playing. They kept chipping away. They stayed focused. And they found a way to get a tough, tough road win against a really good Virginia team.
Hey, Coach, my college coach always said, guys, Ben never break. You lay a great example of that. You're giving up a bunch of yards on defense, averaging only 15 points against out of three games. I mean, obviously you had the blowout against UConn. But the next two, you're not giving up a whole lot of points. How do you feel about the defense going forward?
You know, defensively, the big thing for us is, unfortunately, the two areas that we are inexperienced going into the season was O-line and corner. And we've given up some big plays on the outside, which are just growing pains of inexperienced guys. We helped them a little bit more this weekend with, you know, adding the extra rushers to force the ball out quicker, which you know, Brian Williams has done a great job of always adjusting, you know, figuring out what it is people want to do to attack us and then making the necessary adjustments. He and the defensive staff did a great job of that. The big thing is just keeping them out of the end zone and limiting the big plays. And to me, you know, where the area we've struggled was the big play game. I think, you know, 2 weeks ago against Michigan State, we lost the big play battle. This past weekend, early in the game, the first half, we gave up some big plays. And, you know, if we can control the big plays, and a lot of that was on defense happening with missed tackles, I like the way we're playing defense because we're keeping people out of the end zone, which is the ultimate goal.
Yeah, Coach, great talking to you this morning. It was a great bounce back victory, right? And I know you know this, and being around sports, there is no such thing as an easy victory. But some people are going to look at the schedule and go, these are games or so you got to take care of. That always scares me as a player and competitor, right? Because those are the games you always got to be careful of. You know, the first game of the year, did what you had to do against UConn, and then had a tough one with Michigan State, right? What's kind of the message, and how do you guys not overlook a team like Villanova, who they've gotten off to a good start? You know what to expect, but you still got to go out there and take care of business.
Yeah, you know, they're one of the top teams in FCS football. I think they're ranked 5 in the country. They're undefeated. You look across their roster of their starters, they got a ton of graduate and senior guys, so they're a veteran team. They got a great leader in their quarterback, who's in his 6th year there, 3rd year as a starter, and brings a tremendous amount of competitiveness to the position. But as we've always done, and this is what makes it easy to not overlook people, it's the focus is more on us than it is on anything dealing with the opposite team. And if we play the way we're capable of, and if we play to the best version of ourselves, I can live with whatever the results are. And so the goal for me as a coach is not necessarily, you know, worrying about who the opponent is. It's making sure we're playing our best. And when you do that, I learned that being under Coach Saban, it's about us more than them. And if the focus is on us, then we can control those things. And that's what we try to do.
Coach, I got to ask you, we're talking to Coach Mike Locksley about the decline in numbers for Ty Felton. I mean, two touchdowns, 178, 152, and one. Only 117 and a touchdown against Virginia. Like, I'm obviously kidding, but this kid's been just amazing. I'm probably going to ask you about him every single week you come on the show because I think he's special and I think he has a great chance at the next level.
Yeah, there's no doubt that Ty is a guy that, and if you look at some of the guys that have come out of this place that have played receiver, whether it's here or just in the system itself, it's for guys with Ty's skill set, we get him the ball in space in a great matchup situation, and his ability of the big play and making guys miss just shows up. And so the challenge for us every week as coaches and, you know, play callers are making sure our best players stay involved with the in the game and they get their touches. And we've done a good job of ensuring that guys like Ty are getting his touches. You know, I'd like to see Roman and 25, Nolan Ray, get a few more touches. And those tight ends, both the young tight ends, have proven to become viable threats for us as well. So Ty is definitely one of those guys that we want to get the ball to quite a bit because when we do, good things happen.
Coach, all these new additions to the Big Ten, I know you always look at the game ahead of you, but how does this impact you guys at all when you're taking trips like you are? You're going to Oregon this year. You're going to be going out to California in the future. Does all this extra travel impact the way you prepare now?
Oh, it definitely impacts the way you prepare and that, you know, when you got these cross-country trips and we've done the research and, you look at the way the NFL model and of having to go across the country, you know, those West Coast teams tend to have an advantage because of the acclimation of the time and, for us, one of the big things and differences to try to get out there. We'll leave on a Thursday to find a way to practice out there on Thursday when we land and start that acclimatization period to get the circadian rhythms down.
Talking to Coach Mike Locksley here on The Fan. Coach, good luck this week. We got to get some fans out there. It's important for these home games to get some of that support, correct?
Yeah, we've got parent weekend this weekend, so I'm excited. We'll have an extra crowd there because of the parents that are in town. But you know what, man? We need the support, and we've gotten it. We'll continue to build this thing. Our players are excited about being back home again, finish up our out-of-conference schedule, and utilize this game to create some momentum.
Maybe Ty this weekend will get $2 and two tutties. We'll see how it goes. But, hey, Coach, appreciate having you on and look forward to talking to you next week. Good luck this weekend.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
He's awesome, man. I love Mike Locksley.
So do I.
One of my favorite things about him, we've talked about this before, is that he's friends with Citizen Cope, the singer.
Yeah.
And he's been down to Maryland. Mm-hmm. He's been to their games, which I think is awesome.
Yeah.
I love him. Saw him in one of my favorites.
And I saw him at Rams Head right after Katrina. He opened up with Hurricane Waters.
Did he really?
Yep. The place went berserk.
He's just so good, man. Yep. It's a vibe. I'm going to see Post Malone tomorrow night in Hershey. So looking forward to that. Doing his country album and some other stuff, some other hits. But I love Posty, so maybe I'm not on my own. The guy's sold so many damn records, so whatever. Screw you guys.
I love Post. I'm just letting
I'm just getting looks from Fishhead over there.
That's his name, too?
Yeah, he loves fish.
Hey, man, I have no problem with Post Malone. I like that country album.
Yeah, it's good. Because every song sounds the same.
Like country music.
Yes, exactly. People that are fans of country music get upset at that, but it is. It has the same cadence, the same beat, the way the songs are written. And it's so funny because on his new album, Post Malone now has a wedding dance song called Yours, where it's about a dad giving away his daughter. So now you're going to hear Post Malone at weddings from now on.
Of course.
The daddy-daughter dance.
I don't think they're offended at that. Like, a lot of bands like that. The country music, the Chili Peppers. Mm-hmm. Recognize it in a second.
How's it going? I haven't heard the Chili Peppers in a while. All right, we've got the Daily Lines coming up next. We'll talk some more Orioles baseball at 9:30. I want to go over, we're going to play you some sound from what I considered a really bad beat, and the Cubs, they stay screwing me over. I'll explain why, but it was a nice day yesterday, had a couple of great calls. Tell you where you should go today, and if you're a gambler, it's a buffet of sports. Major League Baseball, WNBA, college football, NFL, we're talking all of it next here on The Fan.
The Big Bad Daily Line. 1057, The Fan.
hit hard towards Nico Horner. The run is coming home and safe. Geloff gets in. It's 5-3.
Just an incredible, incredible jump from Zach Geloff.
Shut up. Sorry. That's courtesy of NBC Sports California.
Kept that in specifically.
Marsh. So let me explain what happened at the end of that game or what was going on. For most of the game, it was like 1-0, and then it became, I think, 3-1, if I remember correctly. And then so you're sitting here and you're sweating out an under. And the one thing with an underplay, especially at 7.5, is that you don't want the game to get tied. Extra innings scares the hell out of you. Doesn't mean if you go to extra innings that you're going to lose, but you don't want it to get tied. So in this game in specific, there were a bunch of things that happened. Justin Steele was just mowing down everyone. He gets through three innings, I think, and then, or maybe he got 2 2/3, and he couldn't find a strike zone. He walked three guys in a row, and you're going, holy hell, what's happening here? So he gets pulled. So when you're betting on the starters, and he's a guy that can be dominant, I mean, he's been in Cy Young consideration for a while, you start to feel that way. So it was 1-0 in the fourth, and then the Cubs dropped three in the bottom of the fifth. So I'm going, all right, just don't let any scoring happen in the seventh. It gets tied up at 3 apiece. And the backbreaker there, and what you're not going to hear is, so we get a double to lead off the game, and then another guy gets a double after that, okay? So the ball's hitting to the corner. Ian Happ goes out and gets it. Relay throw. It's 3-3, so you can understand Dansby Swanson wanting to go home. Dansby Swanson's a really good defensive player. Gold Glove winner, like just top of the line, like really good defensive player. He spikes the ball into the ground when he goes to throw it at home. And the only thing I can think of, and Ryan, maybe you can attest to this, is that he got caught in between thinking, hey, I can't get him out. And he's looking at the guy at third. So part of me is thinking maybe he wanted to hold up and he just let go of the ball.
Yeah.
But so what happened is then that guy gets to third base with no outs. And I'm going, oh, man, it's right now it's 4-3. I can't give up another run and you push or you could lose, you know, depending if you got an 8 or 7.5. This freaking guy, I can't believe this happened. So they get the first guy to ground out to shortstop. Runner doesn't score.
Right.
The very next play, he has an opportunity there, and we get one of these just off the end of the bat dribblers, and I'm talking, doot, 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 like so slow. Isak Paredes comes running in to field it. He doesn't have a play at first. He doesn't have a play at home. Boom, you lose the game. And the only reason I bring up this Cubs game is because this has happened with the Cubs to me so many effing times this year. And the only reason I bring some of that stuff up is I'm usually betting with the house. So when you're betting with the house, you find you tend to win some of those goofy games. I've been losing all of them. And it's been a great year in baseball. Don't get me wrong. Like, yeah. The reason it's so upsetting because it goes from a good night to a great night or a great night to an epic night, you know, if things are going right. And I've seen the Cubs lose games in so many ridiculous ways when I've had the under. It hurts the first most. Some of the things that we hit on yesterday, just looking at the plays that we had, we talked about it quite a bit here. There were different things that really stood out to me, and I talked about that Arizona game. I thought it was going to go over, and that you see the Diamondbacks' bats wake up. Yeah, those SOBs made us sweat it out until, like, the ninth inning, but it went way over the total. A ton of runs scored. Under in the Rays and Red Sox, another play was good. Orioles-Giants under, no bueno. That was the one I ended up pushing on, which sucked, because it got to the point where you suggest the under, and it goes to 4-2, and the Orioles are losing, and then I'm looking at it going, the Orioles can't win, and I win at the same time. So it's either my money or the Orioles winning, which I'd have been fine either way. Instead, it pushed. So the Orioles lost, and I didn't win any money. You do what you want with that. And then I loved the Mariners last night, and it just kind of blew up in my face. We talked about that play where it was 1-0. They tied up at 1 apiece. Nestor Cortes is way better on the road than I expected. So what are you going to do? All right, let's move on to tonight, because I thought last night was pretty interesting when you're breaking down a game. I'll start with the NFL. Love the Jets tonight. It's hard to get away from them. Home opener, short week on a Thursday night. There's nothing about this Patriots offense that scares you in the passing game. We'll have to see. I still think it's going to be Jacoby Brissett. There was some talk. He's a little nicked up. Whether or not we see Drake May. If you see Drake May on the road in New York for his first start, good luck. But I think the Jets handle business at home, even with C.J. Mosley not playing.
Yeah, I do too.
NCAA football, I'm going to lean towards the over with South Alabama and App State. It's at 62.5. Not a big play for me. I was looking, I thought about taking South Alabama in this game. App State gets up for these types of games. I could see a bunch of scoring here, so I'm going to lean towards the over. Let me take you to the weather in baseball because there's some interesting stuff regarding the WNBA. Weather in baseball greatly supports an Orioles under. Now, all these spots are decent, you know, for when I'm leaning for the weather. I do like the under today in a 1 o'clock game with Zach Eflin on the bump going up against Logan Webb. With the way that the bats have been swinging for the Orioles, it's hard to look at an over for them. But we got two good pitchers. The wind blowing in slightly, I think it's going to be tougher to hit home runs. Logan Webb, more of a ground ball pitcher, and Eflin's just been fantastic. Give me the under there. I hope the Orioles win. A lot of money coming in on the Orioles, though. It doesn't mean they can't win, but just stuff that I look at. Now, the Braves over, another one, probably my favorite play today. Braves, and the reason everybody's betting the under here is because it's Chris Sale. The weather there supports this so good that it's hot there, it's humid, the ball's going to carry. I love the Braves bats today. If you want to bet the Braves over total, I'm listening to you. If you want to put together some same game parlays and throw them in there, like that as well with some of the hits. Maybe call a home run because I think the ball is going to carry. Another interesting spot. Cardinals over, Mets under, Cubs over. All right, so what do I like today? As far as this goes, I like, as I said, the Braves and Reds over. I like the Mets and Phillies to go under. Orioles in San Francisco under. And I think the Dodgers in Miami go under. So the Dodgers finally having a good starter with Jack Flaherty going against a Miami team that doesn't hit much, although they've scored a ton of runs in this series. And then you get Edward Cabrera, who I would say arguably is the best Marlins pitcher. Anytime you got somebody going against the Dodgers, it gives you concern because they have so many great hitters in their lineups. And that's kind of where, you know, things can get muddled a little bit here. In what you're looking at. So I like the Mariners again. I'm going back to the well with them tonight with Logan Gilbert on the bump. And I think Minnesota and Cleveland goes over the total. I'm bringing up the WNBA last because I'm going to dive into this some more. I'm wondering who's playing and who's not playing tonight because we have some interesting lines in the WNBA. First off, the Washington Mystics. Yeah, the Mystics. The Mystics are favored by 2 points over the Fever. That don't make any damn sense. The only thing I can think of, and I'm going to look more at this, guys, because when I was looking at the numbers, it stands out to me that some of these players are going to be sitting. I also saw the New York Liberty, who is one of the top teams, if not the top team, in women's basketball. They're 32-7 this year. The Liberty are only 2-point favorites over, who is it, over Atlanta. It's another one of those games where you're going, okay, something fishy has to be going on here. I think you're going to see some players sit tonight as we get closer to playoffs or some teams that have maybe locked some stuff up. Or maybe I'm just missing something, but I'm going to dive back into it. Just to let you know, I'm going to be on the Mystics -2 against the Fever. Line stinks, unless there's a misprint or something. If they're favored by two, I'm taking them. Dallas and Vegas, I like it to go over the 167.5. So where are my favorites? Braves over, Orioles under. I do like the Minnesota-Cleveland over. I love the Jets tonight, and I like the Mystics a lot. Those are going to be some of my top plays. So good luck to you guys, whichever way you decide to go. I do want to mention this, though, with the Daily Line, because this is something near and dear to my heart. We've got I'm Listening. It's a live two-hour special featuring some of the biggest names in music, news, and sports, and some of the most respected mental health professionals, spreading awareness about mental health and the message that talk saves lives. I'm Listening September 25th at 7 p.m. Listen right here on The Fan and on the Odyssey app. For more information, visit imlistening.org. I mean, I told my story months ago where I almost killed myself, and like now I hate even saying it that way, but it's factual. And me talking about it, I hope it helps somebody else. You know, I'm still battling depression and a lot of things that I didn't think were going on. So it's a work in progress, but I feel good. I feel better. And hopefully people can find the same type of help that I found because I found the perfect therapist and, you know, things couldn't be better. I haven't talked about that in a long time, so right. Makes sense to bring it up here. But it is something that obviously with all the things that have gone on with the pandemic and I mean, just everything feels different these days. 410-583-1057. We're going to talk some more baseball. We got the encore, what we learned coming up, to wrap everything up. But up next, we're going to talk about the current playoff picture in Major League Baseball and see who do we think is getting in, National League, American League, the most likely matchups and any concern for the Orioles right here on The Fan.
Swing and a, whoa. Oh, he swung on and missed the bat. Flew into left field. Rodriguez off the bag, and they got him at third base. Wells threw to Chisholm. Rodriguez was leading two for off third following the strikeout, and it is a remarkable double play here in the bottom of the 10th.
There you go. Joe, who's that courtesy of? Is that Yankees Radio Network? My apologies. If you missed it, that was Ryan Shovel earlier today. Had never seen anything like it. Still don't know, like, if that's the right thing to do. I'm assuming it is. You looked at it, Randy Arozarena struck out with a runner on first and third, no outs. So he strikes out, and the bat slips out of his hand. Julio Rodriguez is on third in foul territory. The bat's coming at him, so he kind of moves out of the way. But he takes like three or four extra steps getting out of the way until he realizes, oh, the ball is live, and I'm all the way over here. And he tries to run back, and they tag him out. So now, instead of having first and third, you know, a strikeout and a chance to still score that run, you got two outs and a man on first, and we know how it ended. So, and Seattle still was kind of sniffing around the postseason.
They needed that win, right? Yeah. They needed that. They're hovering. I mean, that they're going in now. I think they're 77-75. So that was a killer, but really two bonehead plays from them on back-to-back nights. And this one at least was a little bit more understanding, right? Bat flying at you, natural reaction, get the hell out of the way. Victor Robles the other night trying to steal home, 3-0 count, bases juiced, first inning of a game. That makes zero sense, but yeah, I guess other fan bases have other things to be frustrated with, right?
Yeah, so Detroit's a half a game out right now from Minnesota, who has the final wild card spot. Kansas City is 1.5 up on Minnesota. And then, of course, Baltimore is, what, 2.5 up on them. They're with the – and four games – teams are four games out of the wild card to catch them. So it's like – and again, you'd have to have all these things go right for Kansas City, Minnesota, Detroit, Seattle, Boston, one of those teams, and everything go wrong for the Orioles. The Orioles still have a better record than the Houston Texans. I know that doesn't – or Houston Texans. Houston Astros, look at me. I know that doesn't matter as much because of how they're playing now. But I do think things can change quickly. Just last week, Yankees fans were going, how are we not pulling away? We keep losing to inferior opponents, and now they're finding ways to win, which does make it interesting. When all said and done, who do you think gets in from those last? Baltimore's going to be in, but Kansas City, Minnesota, Detroit, Seattle, Boston's four out. I think Seattle and Boston are just, that's an uphill battle.
Too much time, or not enough time to get back into it. I'll tell you what, I think Detroit's going to do it. I think Detroit's going to sneak their way in, and they're going to be dangerous. And kind of looking at the schedule of what's left, and this is why I'm bringing it up, you know, Twins got to finish with Cleveland. They got to go to Boston. That's still a competitive team. Then, yeah, Miami's okay, and then you got Baltimore, but... You know, the biggest thing is Twins are, you know, we're talking about the Orioles struggles. Twins, winners of only 9 of their last 25. They're 9-16 over that stretch. And that's a problem to have. And then for the Tigers, yeah, they got the Orioles coming in. That's a huge series for them. But then they have a favorable end to their season. I mean, they got Tampa, but they finished with Chicago. So Tigers can go and do their thing. I think that it's going to be O's, Royals, and Tigers.
It's funny, Ed. So, like, with the Tigers, I'd be willing to bet you that most baseball fans can't name a single hitter on that team.
A Detroit, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not comparing myself because I play daily fantasy and I'm a degenerate. So, but, like, I think when you look at that lineup and you start going top to bottom and you're like Parker Meadows, you know, Kerry Carpenter, you've got Riley Green, who's probably their best player. You got another Young over there playing third base. I guess that's Josh's brother. Jace Young, yeah. And then you start looking around, they have some lefty-righty switches that they make throughout their lineup. Colt Keith was a guy at second base that was kind of in the rookie of the year talk for a short period of time, but he had a nice season, nowhere near the other guys. I like this Detroit team, and for people that haven't watched them closely, starting pitching solid, obviously with Tarik Skubal at the top end of that, but they go to a lot of bullpen games, and they've got these young arms, like the kid that almost threw the perfect game against the Orioles, right? He was just dealing, and these kids are coming out of nowhere. So finally, some of their young talent coming to fruition here. Let me throw the National League out here and see what you guys think. Ed, I don't know if you're if you've been following the National League as much, but like your Mets have been on fire, dude. 84-68 right now. Atlanta is on the outside looking in. I think a few months ago when I said I think Atlanta's going to miss the playoffs, and everybody's like, you got to be crazy. I still think they missed the playoffs. They're two games out. So Mets, Arizona, San Diego. San Diego's 2.5 ahead of Arizona and the Mets. And then you have Milwaukee leading their division. And I don't think anybody can catch them. They've clinched.
Yeah, they're the first team to clinch.
Yeah, they clinched. Yeah. Dodgers, it's so funny. The 88 wins, and they've clinched before the Dodgers and Phillies.
Yeah.
Obviously, all three of those teams are going to be in my opinion. Dodgers can still get got by Arizona or San Diego. More than likely San Diego, but we'll see what happens. Ed, what do you think of the National League? Kind of surprising to see Atlanta on the out looking in after your Mets made this run.
Well, it's amazing. The Mets got really hot. They were the best team in baseball for a while. And the Braves really decimated with injuries. I mean, you lose your superstar for the season, pretty much, you know, you're done. Didn't break my heart, obviously, because I'm obviously not an Atlanta fan and a Mets fan. And again, I like to see the Padres and the Mets because the two teams I picked last year to do really well, and they both, you know, kind of disappointed everybody. But now they're both in the picture, so I think it's going to be, you know, those teams in Arizona.
What about you as far as the National League? Anything jump out to you, Ryan?
Well, the fact that they're really – Atlanta's the only team that could get in. You know, St. Louis and Chicago are seven out. I mean, 10 games to go, seven out, that's not a recipe to get to the postseason. Yeah, I feel like it's got to be Arizona, but when you're just hanging around there, I mean, the Mets are – I'm very happy for all Mets fans because they are going on a bender. It's a special feeling right there, but I think it's going to be those teams, Padres, Mets, D-backs. And also, just for a food for thought here, note, Diamondbacks matched their win total from last season, by the way. They went to the World Series with 84 wins. They already matched that right now with 10 to go. So, as we know, just got to get in.
Yeah, and then it's with the Diamondbacks, too. They just lost two at Coors Field and then, of course, went ham yesterday and just annihilated them in that game. And Arizona's dangerous. Ketel Marte just coming back. We'll see how he's swinging the bat here, but he's one of the better players in the National League. Corbin Carroll, for as bad as he was in the first half, has been equally as good in the second half. He's just been on fire. Hit two bombs yesterday. That was off of a left-handed pitcher, too, so I like pointing that out when you're seeing these everyday players and they can just rake against both sides. Christian Walker, who we talked about early, I think they're very dangerous. But the team I don't think we talk enough about because they have the pitching, they have the hitting, they're finally healthy, they have a good bullpen. I think the San Diego Padres are the scariest team in the National League.
I don't think any team wants to play them, like any of the division leaders.
And Yu Darvish is back now, too.
They just, when you watch games in San Diego, doesn't it look like they're just having an absolute blast? Like, you can feel the energy, and it feels like the other night I saw they went back-to-back-to-back, Jacks, and that place is rocking. Mm-hmm. The Mets have that same type of feeling, too, but San Diego, to me, unlike other years, they're a complete team, which a lot of people probably weren't thinking going into this year.
It's about time. They compiled like a great team on paper the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. We were like, how could these guys possibly lose? And they just found a way to do it.
It's funny. Ed, I didn't get your take on the American League. Anybody standing out to you there with how things have gone? I mean, we've obviously talked about the Orioles. The Yankees have been playing better.
You mean everyone, division leaders and wildcard teams?
Like who in your mind do you think has been playing the best baseball? And it's easy to look at the Yankees for what they've done against Seattle this week, winning some close games.
I was the best baseball, but the team I really have my eye on is a team that's, you know, their record is... they'd be in third place in our division, but I think the Astros, only because they've got so much experience in the postseason. Every year I count them. I was like, they're done, and they seem to always be in it and do really well. So I mean, to me, the Astros are a team I keep an eye on.
Yeah, I think that they're still the team to beat until they're out. I think they've earned that trust. And Framber Valdez quietly once again had the best ERA. I know the other night he got hit a little bit, but. He had the best ERA over the stretch of 2 months down the stretch here. It's just a team that doesn't blink when moments get tough.
They're the ones that scare me with the Orioles just because I'm not afraid of any team in the postseason. But again, they have two dominant lefties at the top of their order or top of their rotation. And maybe they stack them differently with Hunter Brown in between. And I've kept saying I don't think Justin Verlander starts a postseason game for him. I don't know that you can with the way he's been pitching. But again, I'll go back to my favorite thing, unless I'm hearing it against the Orioles in the postseason. You say Kikuchi at home, whenever he strikes somebody out, they play Lisa Loeb's. You say it's better than that Yankee whistle, that stupid thing they have up north.
Not as good as the trumpet.
Well, yeah. Until they call the trumpet guy in when they're down seven. He's over there playing his trumpet. I'm going, you're down seven. Stop.
I think that's a trombone you just played.
Well, anyway, maybe I like him bigger. So what are you going to do?
Well,
so. Bigger than no. Wait until you see me play my French horn. All right, we gotta We got to step out here. We've got the encore, what we learned, everything coming up. We'll get that all to you. Some jokes. Have some fun here. It's coming up right here on the Big Bad Morning Show. Ryan, has this old guy been sitting in here since you got here this morning?
Oh, he was ready to rock and roll, I guess, for...
Freaking $6 million man. He's got a titanium shoulder, an adamantium spine over here.
You
got
to see it. It's a thing of beauty. I just showed Ryan.
Oh, I've been grabbing my back ever since I saw that photo.
Ed Norris is back. Something. How are you, man?
I'm great. I got cut in half. I'm back early. I don't want to, cause any problems here. So I'm just waiting, as my back muscles suture themselves back together, I'm here.
How are you moving around?
I mean, I'm in pain, but low. It's manageable. I'm not taking anything. I'm managing the pain. It's different. You remember how we're just talking about that day at the stadium?
When I took so many milligrams of edibles.
And I had to stop walking.
Yeah.
So then my friend here, the douche nozzle, he goes outside.
I forgot about this.
I can't walk now. I'm in the O's team store, right. And he leaves me. He starts soliciting people outside, telling them I'm in there and I'm signing autographs.
Sure.
If he wants to come and see me, anyone come and see me.
People are, Ed Norris is in there. People are walking in. Ed's like, Ed's here going, ha, 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 ha. He can't move.
So there's no more of that.
Yeah.
I can actually walk now. It's just, it's just got to heal. It's going to take 6 to 12 weeks.
So. Yeah. Well, it's good to have you back, man. No BS. I missed you. It was funny because, Ed and I BS so much off the air and going just back and forth. It's kind of weird not having that because Rob will leave the room every once in a while. And usually it's just Ed and I sitting here BSing about TV shows and everything else.
Well, I was just seeing that right here. I got a preview of it right before we started.
Oh, that was more ball busting. Ed telling me to shut up. He's like, you haven't even gotten in the room and you're already talking. There you go. That's our encore. That was actually the first segment starting the show
off. It was.
Good to have you back, Ed. How you feel so far being back? You getting this whole radio thing down again?
A little sore, but it's really getting to me now.
Yeah, he's been getting up every commercial break, walking around.
Yeah, I got to get moving. This hurts.
Yeah.
I'm good.
All right, well, it's good to have you back. You'll be back tomorrow. Ryan, you're not back tomorrow. You've got some things going on, but I hope you've had fun this week.
It was a blast, and I honestly, Ed, I could hear your stories all day long.
I wish you were here, because I wanted to tell some stories, and I can't, because... Well, he won't be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
I got some stuff to tell.
We'll have to set it up a different time.
Well, let's get to what we've learned today. Eddie, what did you learn?
I learned there are this kid, Eric Kilburn, an American kid. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records because he is the biggest hands and feet of any kid. He's 16 years old. His hands and feet are enormous. He set a record. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records. He wears a size 23 shoe. He's 6'10 at that age, size of Anthony Davis, at a teenager, and he's still growing. So he won. He got the hands and the feet, and he's in the book. So he decides, he says, I think I can do one more. I think, but despite the fact I'm so big, it'd be interesting because I think I have the smallest penis in the world. So he's into the Guinness people again. He's already won two of them. So he walks in, and his mother's waiting outside for him again. As he comes back outside after winning the first two, and she goes, How'd it go? He's like, what's the matter? What's the matter? He goes, who the hell is Jeremy Kahn?
Yeah, I'm the guy with the smallest penis in the world. Thank you, Ed. Thank you for letting everyone know that. I thought we were keeping that between us. Anyway, son of a bitch. Ryan, what did you learn this week?
I guess I learned a little bit more about you.
Wait until we get to show and tell. So anyway.
Yeah, no, but I was just looking at this, and maybe because I have a fear of heights, and maybe it's technology nowadays just knows. And then I just see a pop-up that Cedar Point just added on to the tallest, fastest, and longest tilt roller coaster in North America. It's opening in 2025. The addition to Siren's Curse. Is the name, Siren's Curse. Adding 160 feet more, 90-degree drop. So they're going to move it, tilt it, and you're going to drop down. I used to like roller coasters before I had more of a understanding of what actually was happening. I've been sweating since, and I'm getting nauseous looking at this demonstration. So that's what I learned. But I really was more, thank you, Ed, I learned a lot with Jeremy.
I had to get that in before you left. So.
Yeah. Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ed. I appreciate that.
That's a true story about that kid, though, by the way.
Me?
No. These kids got the biggest hands and feet in the world for his age.
It's crazy, man. So, Ed, are we all taking the Jets, by the way, tonight?
Yes.
It seems like it's
Yes, Jets.
Jets. All right, we got it. I want to tell you a couple other things as we've been doing this. I gave my handyman a to-do list, but he did jobs 1, 3, and 5. Turns out he only does odd jobs. A man assaulted me with milk, cream, and butter. How dare he?
Oh boy.
What's the best musical instrument? Broken drums. You can't beat them.
It's the worst.
I heard they made the world's strongest suction cup. I'm not quite sure how they pulled it off. To the person who stole my glasses, I will find you. I have contacts. And here you go. I'll leave you with this one. This was, what do you call a swimmer with no arms or legs?
Bob.
That's correct. All right, guys. Brian, it's been a blast this week. I really appreciate you being around. Ed, it's nice to have you back. We'll get Rob back next week, and the whole crew will be back together. Actually, I'll probably just take off next week. Yeah, who cares? That being said, Vinny and Haney are up next, guys. Stay tuned right here on 105.7 The Fan.